This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. It's Her Vantage, and on Resource Center, Her Vantage is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Now, what started out as one mother's efforts to soothe her infant's eczema has now spanned over 6 years, bringing comfort and healing to many happy customers through the use of natural botanical ingredients. I'm here with Michelle Ho from Kinder Soaps. You know, we've been following your story ever since BFM started as well. And of course, yeah, you've moved beyond soaps, but we'll talk about that in just moments. So you're one of the first few guests that have come on BFM. You know, has the business grown to your expectations?
I would think that it has gone beyond my expectations, really, because like you said, I started this it's really just to keep the money rolling so that I could always have soap for Andrea and then now for the family. But we have found that actually a lot of people are more receptive to handmade all natural goods, and then also they're more educated about the benefits, and they're opening up their wallets as well. The market is definitely there, and it's growing. We've noticed that over the years that there are more vendors, more brands, new brands coming up for handmade all-natural soap and other body care products. But the interesting thing is also now, because we have moved towards building a facility, or rather just a small studio setup that is compliant with ASEAN Cosmetics Good Manufacturing Standards practices, we've had a lot of corporate customers actually approaching us to make their products for them using their formulations.
Okay.
So we act as a manufacturer now.
OEM?
Yeah.
Okay, so what is this standards again?
The ASEAN Cosmetics Good Manufacturing Practices.
Okay, so what's different about this standard?
It's a huge amount of paperwork. I'm doing more paperwork than actually producing stuff now.
Okay.
Which is a bit sad, but I see why it's necessary, because what we're following is actually, it's a quality control and a quality management system that we're trying to employ. We're trying to assure our customers that it's not just a kitchen out of the house operation. No? So
It started that way,
correct. Yeah. But because I wanted longevity for both the brand and also, you know, just making sure that this is a lasting effort. So to force myself in that direction, I decided, okay, why not look at complying to these GMP standards and then see where we go from there. So I've dug a very deep hole.
Okay. I think the idea is sustainability, right? Yeah. If you just do it from your home, you know, that's going to be the size of your business. But, you know, with this commercial facility and the standards, it opens the doors to many other things as well. And it really depends on what you want. Some people are just happy, you know, operating up from the kitchen, you know?
That's what I actually wanted to do, to continue with that. Because the flexibility it offers, you know, like you can just put the kids down to sleep. Everyone's asleep by 10 o'clock. Then, bring out all the soap making stuff. And then I miss that. I really do.
Okay.
But now everything is more, there's a schedule for things. And because we have hired people, now I can't just do anything anytime I please. So we have actual operating hours. And then somebody's helping me now with production, which was the major hurdle that I found. So I'm very, very grateful. But yeah, it's totally different from what I expected.
Okay, so you started, the name is Kinder Soaps, the name is still Kinder Soaps, but you also do other things now. Why the transition into other products?
It was a very natural progression, because soap cleans the skin. Then after your shower, what do you do?
Moisturizer.
Yeah, got the usual moisturizer and things. And that's actually basically what I do now. So, things to cleanse the skin, things to nourish and moisturize the skin after. Because when I saw in the market, yes, you have all natural soap, but a lot of people still put on synthetic products on the skin after the shower.
Yeah.
It's not all bad, but I thought, why not try and see what I can do to actually bring out a range of moisturizers that can really help without using any synthetic chemicals.
So what are the products that you have? What are the hot sellers?
Hot sellers now, it's still the soap, mainly. That's my forte still. But after that, we've got balms. We also have moisturizing oils, which are quite popular for mothers with young babies. It's very easily absorbed in the skin, and you don't have to like rub it into the skin. And now I'm working more on whipped body butters.
Okay.
So they feel like creams, but there's no water in it, which means that we don't have to put preservatives. Antioxidants, yes, but no preservatives, because there's no water content, and we don't have to use emulsifiers either to bind the oil and water together.
Okay. So how do you do this research? How do you go about looking for these kind of products?
It's more of observing, okay, what do I need right now? Because the family is growing as well.
Yeah.
So I see what they need. And then the formulations come from, okay, based on the need, we look at what are the commonly researched ingredients that are already published with journal articles and things out there. And we work from there based on how easy is it to procure those ingredients and does the research make sense? Then it's a lot of reading, mostly online. But nowadays, I try and actually do some formal learning as well. So I'm still trying to finish my long-distance course for clinical aromatherapy. That's taking a long time. Very, very long time.
So there's, of course, now things have changed. There's the production. There are the four children.
Yes.
There's a husband. Let's not forget that. And then, of course, now with your course. Now, I understand you were working with Myanmar refugee women, helping them with an opportunity to earn money. Are you still doing that?
No, I'm not actively in touch with them. I do bump into them once in a while at bazaars and flea markets. But we have actually pretty much taken what I've taught them those many years ago and they've just run with it.
Okay.
So they are independently
producing.
Which is
the goal.
Yeah,
right.
Correct. So I didn't have to babysit them or anything and they're fantastic. Let me just see. The name of their line of products is called Cowpries or Cowprize, I'm not sure. And they have been around for that many years and they're still going.
Okay. So, you know, along the years as well, I've seen a lot that have come and gone, come and stayed. They're not major competition. You think there is lots of room for
there's
for
a
these
lot of room, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. I was quite sad that one of my major, my influencers or even my mentor, it was this soap company down in Johor. She closed down.
Okay.
And I actually met up with her finally in person because I've never made the trip down until this happened and she asked me to actually buy over some equipment. So she wanted to quit, not because the work was no good, but because she wanted to spend more time with her children. And she is also a GMP compliant facility.
Right.
So that made me a bit scared. I was like, I have four. And then she also has four. And her child that she is having that she was having issues with was already 11.
Okay.
So, like, I'm just wondering, is that my path as well?
Is that my roadmap?
Yeah, so try not to go there.
Okay, no, it's not. I'm here with Michelle Ho from Kinda Soaps, talking about her journey for the last 6 years. 6 years? 7 years?
Yeah? 6 years, yeah.
And we'll continue our conversation after this in Resource Centre, BFM 89.9. This is Resource Centre. Good afternoon. I'm Frida Liu. It's Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Michelle Ho from Kinda Soaps. They started out with soaps, and I guess they're still the bulk of their business. We've been following this journey with you as well in what you do now. You started out online, and then you have a physical shop. Now, why did you decide to start a physical shop?
It was the initial idea was to try out this idea of having a physical space because soap is such a sensorial product. So people like to touch and smell, see the thing. Of course, the smell is the one that leaves the most impact.
See the colours.
Well, mine is, the colours are a bit limited because of we don't use chemicals. So we managed to get just enough money to open up and run a little shop at Jaya 33. And that did quite okay for 2 years. Then we shut that shop and we moved it over to our production facility, which is in Damansara Jaya. So we have literally, it's ground floor. You walk up, first floor is half the floor is our shop. You go upstairs one more floor, that's our production floor.
Okay.
So everything was a lot more efficient. So we decided to still stick with having a shop there because my staff need a place to work anyway. And they are the ones who are handling the processing of orders and then also to handle inquiries and things wherever possible. And at the same time, I'm also training some of them to handle some of the production work as well, things like stamping the soap, wrapping it. So they've got a variety of tasks to do rather than just sit there and they're inactive.
So is the bulk of your business online or the physical shop?
Still online.
Still online.
People come. No, it's not just our products now. In fact, this year, ever since I finished the renovation for our production studio, but in terms of value, actually it's now equal split between our products and people coming in and asking us to make their products.
So when you say online as well, is it largely Malaysians? I know you said all over the world, but is it just Malaysia that's asking?
Mainly Malaysians.
Mainly,
yeah.
Okay. So in terms of the physical shop and the online orders, what's the ratio though?
I think for shop, I think it would be only 25-30% at the most right now. But then again, I've been like running around just focusing on production and catching up with it. I've never actually paid very much attention to active marketing and promotion of our shop, the products. Everything is still very much word of mouth. So this is a failure on my part. I really should try and get the word out there about our stuff. But right now, like I said, we are just trying
busy.
To... Busy. Yeah, it's the busy work that's keeping me from doing this.
Okay, so I guess at the moment that's not the focus because your business, your revenues are coming from elsewhere.
Mm.
Who do you have helping you? I mean, in terms of staff as well, because this was you, one woman, and now a team of?
We have a team of part-timers now, about five part-timers, two of them who come in very, very regularly.
Okay.
One is production, one is sales. And I don't think I can afford to actually have full-time staff at the moment. That's why the marketing effort is pretty much zero because
right.
there's nobody dedicated to that. Yeah, so we've got that taken care of, but the main concern now is more of production.
So I know like you were talking about your products, you have to cleanse and then to moisturize. And of course, you also have essential oils.
Yeah.
Is that everything from, you've developed everything?
Yes. The essential oils was not very, it's not very difficult to bring in because I'm using them anyway.
Okay, so it's brought in. It's not your own, you develop?
No.
Okay.
These essential oils, bring them in neat, so we don't blend them. In the future, I will be making blends. So things like if you've got a cough, this is what you use. If you've got cuts and bruises or muscle sores and things, so this will be blends that we will make ourselves. But right now, what I'm trying to do myself is actually to try and get as much information about each individual oil out onto our website so people can actually decide how to use it on their own. But this is part of education for the public.
Now, I was looking on your website once you had a custom order for breast milk soap.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, tell me about that. I've heard about it, but you did it.
Yeah. It's not uncommon,
okay.
Especially for those people who are trained under Taiwanese soap makers or the Chinese market. They're very, very open to it. So it's not too different from using goat's milk in the soap. So what we do is that if we have customers who have an excess supply of milk, whether it's frozen or it's just fresh or what, they will actually contact us and then we'll get somebody from GoGet to pick up the milk from them to make sure it's delivered on time to our place. We keep it chilled or frozen. Then from there, I work with the formulation. I actually had to look up what is the saponification value of human fat, milk fat, and how much fat is there in
breast milk.
Generally, in breast milk anyway. So yeah, it was a very interesting process of finding out that.
Uh-huh.
Then we work with the usual formulations for making a nice moisturizing soap bar, and I ask them, is there any particular skin issue that you need to address? From there, we choose the carrier oils, the essential oils, and also, of course, what are their scent preferences.
Okay.
So it's a fun process, but I suppose not something that I would take on very often because we work with very small batches. The amount of time and effort it takes to make a small batch is the same as pushing out, say, 90 bars.
So how much of soap bars did you get out of that one?
It depends on how much milk that they give us, lah. I think the last order I took, it was 500 milliliters of milk could give about 20 or 30 bars.
Which is all right. I guess it'll last for a long time.
Yeah.
It'll last for a long time. It'll 20, 30 bars. Correct. So you do get these orders once in a while. Okay, very interesting. Are you the only one doing it here, as far as you know?
There are a lot.
All
in
right.
fact, there are a lot of people. Like I said, the Chinese-speaking market is very open. So they've been doing it for ages already. Yeah. I'm slow to catch on because I've been rejecting the requests for the past few years.
Okay.
Yeah, then so might as well try and learn something new again.
Okay, so you also have your monthly subscriptions, people who... and how does that work?
Okay, monthly subscriptions is actually a way for us and then also for the customer to simplify the whole process of buying a regular supply of soap. So the idea was actually to find out or rather plan our production so that we know that this number of people are ordering this type of soap across the next how many months. So we try and tailor our production to meet that. And then also for the customer, it's more of a convenience play. In terms of savings to the customers, unfortunately, we can't offer a huge bundle, savings all at once. But it's really just to appeal to the convenience factor. So if you know what soap you want and you're a regular user, you can just tell us right from the start, and then every month, on the first day of the month, we'll send it out to you. And you don't even have to come to a website and then place your order, go through the whole payment process again. Everything's automated with PayPal, and we link it to, we make it talk to our website, and it just handles the payments there.
I like the way you say, just make it talk to our website.
Yeah.
Do once enough.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's been fun, listening to your journey and how things has panned out. Thanks for spending time with us.
No problem.
I've been speaking to Michelle Ho from Kinda Soaps' Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.